This is AgriPulse Drive Time for Friday, February 28th, brought to you by Farm Bureau News. Good afternoon, I'm Jeff Nally. This week's Newsmakers guest is USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer. On the sidelines of the USDA's Outlook Forum, Meyer says there's no doubt the farm economy has challenged some enterprises more than others.
I continue to have concerns about the crop side of agriculture because we continue to see tight margins. When you look at the prices we presented today, the expectation is for most prices to move yet lower. Input prices tend to be pretty sticky, and so margins continue to be unfavorable, and unfavorable is probably a kind word for some crops. Even crops where we see maybe there's a little bounce in prices like cotton, that's a bounce from a really, really bad price to only a really bad price. And so I think if we separate that out, I have concerns about the crop side on the balance sheet.
Meyer says the nation's livestock sector is faring better, but production expenses are keeping net income in check.
On the beef cattle side, we've got record high fed and feeder prices, but at the same time, folks haven't turned the cycle. They haven't felt comfortable enough to add cows back and heifers back into the system. On dairy, things are looking better, and yet they would like to expand. But where do you find enough purebred dairy heifers? There's a constraint there because of the spillover into the beef market. And so you think all of the signals on the beef side, on the livestock side that say, my things look better, but that follows after when you think about expansion in those sectors.
This week, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said she's hoping for lower egg prices by this summer. Meyer says that's possible, but bird losses from avian influenza have to be mitigated.
If we can keep HPAI under control, whether that's through biosecurity audits or other actions, we should see prices continue to come down, you know, see a downward trajectory for the whole year. The problem that we have found ourselves in is for the last 18 months or more, we continue to have large losses. I mean, if you lose 10 million birds, if you have a depopulation event and 10 million birds, which has happened in several months in the last 18 months, that takes you 2-3 months of uninterrupted expansion in order to recover. And we just keep taking hits and the flock keeps shrinking.
Crop commodity prices took a negative bias this week after President Trump announced tariffs for Canada, Mexico, and China would be levied next week. Meyer says it's hard to predict the consequences of that action.
I think right now, I think we would all say we lack details. We don't know what the action is going to be, but we are preparing ourselves to be able to calculate those impacts because the secretary has directed us to do so. So I think it depends a lot on what kind of tariffs, how broadly, how do they impact agriculture? What commodities might be selected? Are they reciprocal tariffs? Are these short-run tariffs? Is there a deal to be made? I think it's so complex, we can't go in and talk about, well, what do I think the impacts are? Because I don't know what the framework is, and it could vary pretty substantially.
On another front, one estimate released this week suggests world population is growing faster than previously expected and may peak lower than levels previously forecast. Meyer says the key to opportunity for U.S. farmers lies in the growth of the middle class and the ability to form trade agreements with those countries.
For our farmers, we would like to serve that growing population. And when we look at trade, however, you know, we're really good at bulk agricultural commodity trade. I think that one of our challenges on the ag trade side is to broaden our ag trade portfolio. And by broaden, I mean both geographically. We're going to have to go out and find those countries where there is population. I mean, when you talk about global population slowing, that's more in the West and in the United States than it is in Africa and other developing places, who still there's a lot of window there for growth in proteins. I mean, if you think about Africa and the ability to the demand that might exist should their incomes rise, the demand for protein is pretty substantial, and that provides us an opportunity on the bulk side. So I think you've got a
Newsmakers is available now at www.agripulse.com. Today's Drive Time is brought to you by Farm Bureau News. Subscribe to Farm Bureau News to get the farm stories that matter most in your inbox twice each month. Go to fb.org/FBN subscribers. That's fb.org/FBN subscribers to sign up. Well, that's all for today's Drive Time. For more agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.